Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Hey family, so last week we wrapped up our homecoming series with Angel, and it was opportunity in your obstacle, right? It was amazing. And now we have the opportunity to kick off and dive into another sermon series. And I'm so excited about this series entitled Never Say Never. Never say never. So I want to take us all back for a second, take us back into our childhood. So for one, if you're close to me, you know that my love language is food, okay? I love good food. So looking back at your childhood, let me ask you this question. What's a food that you hated that you still hate to this day? What's a food you hated that you still hate now? Put it in the comments, put it in the chat. I would love to see what your thoughts are. I know for me, I have two very specific ones. I hate milk. I've always hated milk. When I had cereal, I would literally drain the milk off as much as possible so I would not have to have any milk and digest any milk, just enough to get the cereal soggy, okay? I couldn't stand milk. My mom one time made me drink a bowl because she thought I was joking. And it went left, okay? We'll just say it went left. I do not like milk. Another thing, cranberry sauce. That's just for what? I just don't need cranberry sauce in my life. That's not something that I ever liked and I still don't like to this day. So what's a food that you still hate now? But on the flip side, what's a food that you hated, but now you're like, I'm cool. It's good. I've grown to like it. For me, my husband, he is Haitian, and so I've been around some amazing good food, and one of those things that were constantly cooked in his mom's house were some plantains. I did not like plantains growing up. It was not something I liked at all, but then being around, tasting her plantains, it was amazing. So that's literally something that I now grow to love. And so who remembers this game called MASH? Do you remember the game MASH? You put up at the very top of the page, MASH, it stands for mansion, apartment, shack, or house. And you'd list random number of kids you'd have, locations you would live, type of career, type of car, and you would count down and cross them out until you got your curated list of what your life would be like. Anybody remember that? I know for me, I would play over and over and over again until I got the curated, perfect version of my life. I wanted the mansion. I want these set of kids. I wanted this location. And if that wasn't it, I'm starting over, playing the game over again. I even remember just driving with my parents and my brother and me being in the backseat of the car, and we're saying, yep, we want that house and we want that house, and oh, that's going to be my house when I get older, and that's going to be my house, and that's going to be my dog, and that's going to be my car. And so even as children, we were curating what it looked like that we wanted to be when we grew up, what our lives were going to be like. And so a couple of months ago, it was really interesting. A brother asked me, and he said, 15 years ago, were you doing what you thought you'd be doing right now? And that was a really good question. That was a really good thought, and it made me think, what would I have been doing? And he asked me, what is it? What did you want to do? And so for me, I had a degree in international studies. I was studying cultures and traditions of people in Africa and Latin America. I wanted to be an ambassador. I wanted to be in the foreign service. I wanted to be a peacekeeper and be all over the world. That's what I wanted to do. And so when I think now about my life, you know, here I am in my 30s, in Atlanta. I had no idea my life would look like this. where do you think you'd be? Where did you think you would be 15 years ago, right now? Because I think for many of us, we have certain plans, we have certain thoughts about where we want to be, certain goals, certain careers, and we had things that we wanted to do. We set practices in place to try to get it done. We set values, we set goals, but then we also set limitations and we also set parameters. I'm not going to do this. I am going to do this. This is going to be a don't. This is going to be a yes. This is going to be a no. I'll never do this. I'll definitely do that. And once we get to that point, what happens when we have these experiences when those nevers actually turns into, I'm here. It's happening. It's happened. And these instances happened all the time in the Bible. I know with Peter, let's think about Peter. I bet walking with Jesus and having Peter talk with Jesus, he never thought, I'm going to deny him three times. I know even because of mere physicality, Peter never thought, I'm going to be summoned to walk on water one day. I bet he never thought that would happen. And Moses, also thinking, you know what, I'm leaving this palace, I'm never turning back, I will never see Pharaoh again, I'll never see this palace again, I'm going and I'm being in a new place, living a new life, and he thought he'd never go back, but he did. And Pharaoh, I bet he thought he would never have to literally give up the foundation of his economic success and stability by releasing the Israelites until Moses showed back up in his never and until God came. The woman at the well, when we think about her, someone Jesus would never talk to. That's what she thought. He's never going to talk to me. He's never going to be in this place where, you know, traditionally and spiritually, he's not going to connect with someone like me. And her never turned into it happened. Another woman who was bleeding for 12 years. At the fifth year, did she think, this is my life. Let me accept it. At year 10, this is it. Nothing is going to save me from this. Let me start curating my life around what this brokenness looks like, what this pain looks like. But then she touched Jesus. I bet the rich young ruler never thought he'd had to give up something else in order to enter the kingdom of God, especially since he had obeyed all the commandments since he was young. He never thought, I have to give up one more thing. Never say never, especially when it comes to God. All of these nevers turned into being so. Never say never. So when it comes to God, with these instances, there are particular things that we see that come about as a result of God changing their nevers. Number one, everyone grew deeper in their faith. They were able to cling closer to God and cling closer to what their faith looked like, have a refined character. There were things that were laid bare because they had an encounter with God, because they encountered Jesus, that their character was shown. It showed the heart of God and who Jesus is, healer, deliverer, friend. So let's look at us. Let's turn it around and look at our lives day to day. Some of us never, ever thought we'd change, right? Some of us never thought we'd shake that hurt, that we'd get through an obstacle. Some of us thought we'd never do that sin, right? We'd never do that part, but we did. And I know for me, mine never turned when I came on to be in full-time ministry. You know, Chris was part-time on staff. And when that happened, I literally thought, bet, amen. I am going to make sure I'm his helpmate. I'm going to make sure the house clean. Okay, I'm going to make sure he has a place to pray, a place to study, a place to do what he needs to do. I'm going to be the best helpmate ever. And then all of a sudden, God said, you too. I want you to come too. And I said, God, what are you doing? What does this look like? Another never came when I thought I'd never need to be baptized again. I grew up in the church. I knew the word of God. I knew and had a relationship with God, right? But there was something more. There was another part of my journey that Jesus was waiting for me at. There was another part. And I want to talk about your story. What happens when a never becomes it happened? Regardless of how we perceive the situation, here are some things that absolutely helped me. Number one, we gotta find God in the never. Sometimes what we can see as this inconvenient interruption is really a chance for us to be refined, taught, and loved by God. So where is God in the never? If we want to find him, where is he? He's in all of it. He's in every single part. You know, Jesus used stories to convey a message, to convey meaning, to show the glory and the kingdom of God. And our lives itself are a string of parables, a mosaic of parables. And that helps us understand what it looks like to give glory to God in the ways that we serve. When God created us, he was woven through our entire story. And so when situations come, think about where is God in this first? There's been so many times I've seen situations and things have come up in my life and I say, okay, God is over here. The situation is over here. Let me try to fix the situation so that it curates to what I thought it was supposed to be without putting God in the mix at all, let alone putting him first. And so we got to put him first in these situations and find him in the never. What can we do to find him there? Number two, we have to commit to recommit. In Proverbs 16:1, it says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. When I think about full-time ministry, I originally came on board my title and my role being volunteer engagement manager and what volunteer engagement director and what that entailed specifically was number one, being able to oversee the teen ministry with my husband. Number two, be able to strategize and get people on board to volunteer and serve. And number three, do a little bit of social media, okay? And that completely changed due to COVID. I thought I'd never be in a position where most of my work is literally around marketing and social media and online engagement. It completely flipped. And so also the Patterson, Steve and Britt, they had a calling and a passion for the teens. And so they reached out and they were able to get the teens and build relationships with them. And they are now overseeing our teen ministry. That's something that I thought I'd be doing, that God opened the door for something else to take place. We're in COVID. I thought that I'd be working on volunteer strategy inside the building for a whole 17 months. That hasn't been able to happen because of where we are. God put that on hold. So what did I have to do first? I first committed to whatever it was that I was brought on in the first place, but then I had to recommit to the specific plan God gave me in this season. And so we have to commit and recommit and recommit. And some of us, I know, may have stopped recommitting. In what areas in your walk with God have you decided, nope, I'm holding on to this initial commitment because this is what I wanted, this is what I said, and not recommit to God's new plan? Nope, I'm staying right here. I'm not recommitting. And what areas are you holding on to that commitment where you're not even able to grow into the next level God has you to be because you're not being able to recommit to that next thing? You've become unmovable. You've become unflexible. So here you are. We have these plans. You have your yeses, you have your nos, your nevers, and you commit to the actions of to God, just like the scripture says, and then it gets turned upside down. It's time for you to make a decision. Will you see this new plan as, you know what, God, I'm going to go on an adventure with you, or will you retreat because that wasn't the original goal? Right? Original goal. We must be flexible in God and we must be led. And the beautiful thing about that is that God is here and he writes our stories and he allows our stories to be told. He controls what happens. And he also knows how we will react and why we respond the way we do. Y'all, I saw this scripture and I fell in love with it. It's Psalms 33:13-15, and it says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts so he understands everything they do." Because we have a God that created us and knows our inner workings, we can rest in the fact and know that God knows exactly what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and he's created our story uniquely for us. He has his own mash, right? Like in heaven, that allows us to see, okay, I know Brianna's going to be here. She's going to be doing this and she's going to be in this career and then it's going to flip and then I'm going to allow her to grow in this area. And he's always doing something. And I could rest assured that that something is always going to be good for me. That something will always have a good outcome because his plan for my life is good. So Psalms 32:8 says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." This is present tense. I will advise you. He's advising us. He's watching over us, watching over you currently and advising our plan as we continue to move forward. So interestingly enough, I told this brother, I thought, you know, I'd be overseas. I thought I'd be doing, you know, this ambassador work, this peacekeeping work. And of course, this brother said, "Wow, you are. You're being a peacekeeper for God. You are being an ambassador for God." And of course, that brother was Chase Nance. He asked me, you know, "What would you be doing?" And I was like, "Wow, that's true. I am an ambassador for God. I am doing this where it looks different, but the mission is the same." And that instance made me remember that God's story for us is the best story. God's story for us is the best story. So my question for you to ponder and to think through, in what ways have you allowed God to change your nevers? I'm never going to serve here. I'm never going to share this message with my family in the way they get it. I'm never going to deviate from this plane. I'm never going to reach my brother. I'm never going to rebuild this broken relationship that's been broken for 12 years. It's been broken for 15 years. I'm never going to be to the point where I can do this thing in my career. I'm never going to get to the point where I'm going to be able to fully worship God in spirit and truth. What are your nevers that you need to give up to God so that he can just break them apart, throw them out the window and say, "This is the story that I have for you"? Nothing is beyond repair when God is in it. Nothing is impossible either. What areas and what things have you shut out of God in certain situations where he needs to actually be the center of it. When was the last time you recommitted and say, I'm all in, I'm here? And instead of being reluctant, you're reflective and you're thinking about, God, how can I move with you? Not you move with me, but how can I move in the direction that you would have me to go? You know, our theme this year is never the same. Are you willing to ask God to shake up your nevers so that you're never the same? It's a bold prayer. And if you're a little hesitant about praying that prayer, never the same means less and less and less and less and less of me and more and more and more and more and more of Jesus. So when we think about our nevers and we think about our stories during this time of communion, I want you to think about, number one, what pieces have led you right here, right now? The good, the bad, did we put God first? Did some never shake up? What does that look like? It's about having that gratitude for God that he holds our stories in his hands. He holds our lives in his hands. And he's the director and writer and creator of yours. And let's think about his son, Jesus, who came down and fulfilled a part of your story, who wants to fulfill a part of your story, who wants to be centered in all of it and had a story and a plan for salvation for your life. And Jesus had a story, right? And his story was to die on the cross and serve us in that way. And then his story was to be with us in heaven. So let's remember that story as we pray for our communion. Dear God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to commune with you, to be able to talk with you, God. Thank you so much that we can shake things up and not be afraid, God. You can shake things up and not be afraid, God, of what it's going to look like. We can go on an adventure with you. God, shake up our nevers, God, so that we are molded and created, God, deeper in relationship with you, and so we look like Jesus. God, we are not perfect. We know that you are the only perfect one, and we needed a Savior in order to come and rescue us, God, and be the hero of our stories, God. Allow us to not put you in a box and say, I'm never going to do this or never going to do that. Let us be open to what you have for us, open to what you have for our lives. Grow us and mold us and stretch us, God, and let us learn the lessons along the way so that we can bring others alongside us, God, so we can all make it to heaven. I pray for those who think, I'm never going to be baptized, or I'm never going to follow Jesus, or this is too hard, or I've heard too many negative things about Jesus and who he is, and I've heard too many negative things about the church. I'm never going to do this. God, I want you to shake them up, God. I want you to reveal something from their hearts, God, that they say, maybe, possibly, this Jesus is the truth. This Jesus is the answer, God. I thank you for the Christians that are listening right now, God. There's another level that you may want them to be at, God, in deeper relationship with you. I pray that you shake them up, God, so they can reach that next point, God, of deeper faith, of deeper service, God, of deeper commitment to you. I love you. And I thank you, God, that you never give up on us. You never give up on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.